fantasy, sports, and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Okay. I'm Donald Trump. Just
no, you're not
now, this is the okay, Iowa caucuses. Oh no, he's not. I'm Donald Trump, and I've left Iowa because I know I've won everything, and I left it to Jerry to try to clean up the scraps in real time. It's me. Yawning, Mr. FSP. I'm low energy Jeb Bush right now. That's exactly who I am. Low energy Jeb Bush.
I can't believe.
Hey, 38
years old?
No. 39. About to be 40. 39. Pushing 40.
What we do? I got 21 years on you. 22 years. Exact.
Hey, 62. I can still add 61, whatever you are. It's okay. I'm hitting my stride. Just got to get some energy for it first. All right, guys. I know Jerry's going to try to dog me out, whatever. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Well, it's been a long day, dude. I was in Yongsan. Like, I got up at 4 something to go to Yongsan and watch my kid play or help coach my kid.
Play what?
Basketball.
Okay, and, so you were sitting on the sideline while he was running up and down the court.
No, I was coaching. But the thing is, it was a – so what? But no, it was a very, very, very long day. It's like a 4-hour drive up there, then another 4-hour drive back. And then those kids on the bus are just, man, you know what? Okay, I'm going to sound off. We're going to get to the Super Bowl and all that. But listen,
yeah.
If your kid does not have any damn home training, then you need to come on the bus with your kid. If your child acts like they own the world and they have a little bit of basketball talent, you need to come on the bus for these road trips. Because, I mean, man, these little kids are just stupid nowadays. Not saying that my kids.
Let me ask you something. Are these all military kids?
Yeah, bro. Yes.
Okay. So we're talking about non-commissioned and
officer
kids from
and warrant. You got non-commissioned, warrant, and commission.
So they come from different ranks.
And DOD civilian kids too.
Okay, now let me ask you something. Let me ask you another thing. How many coaches are on the bus, and what rank are they? How many parents are on the bus?
Okay, that's the thing. It's like 3 coaches on my son's team. Me, another parent, and the head coach. Our team is pretty okay. Then there was some kids from another team that's coached by, you know, another parent from this area on the bus, but he was on a different bus. Then there was the all-girls team. I know that. And then there were girls. There's the girls team. And like a couple parents from it. Dude, let me just explain. First, the boys, and the boys are so stupid. They start singing SpongeBob SquarePants. And then the girls start singing Justin Bieber's What Do You Mean? And then the boys come back with another, not SpongeBob SquarePants, I apologize, Little Einsteins. And then the boys come back with a couple of inappropriate songs. I'm like, are y'all serious? Like, only because they know the hook to a track where they singing it. Like Chris Hotline Bling, whatever it's called. Not Chris Brown's.
Okay.
Drake's Hotline Bling. And I'm like, do y'all even know what that song means? And they're like, no. And then that's on the way up. And mind you, I have my Dre Beat Studio headphones on where I shouldn't hear anything, and I normally don't. Well, I could hear every daggone word these kids were saying. That's how loud they were.
Well, let me ask you something. Who's the head person on the bus?
On the bus? Okay, there really isn't because
that's your bus.
I know that. I'm trying to tell you. There really isn't because the coach, my coach, we took care of our kids to make sure they were not misbehaving. As I said, there were some kids from another team that overflowed to our bus. And all the girls, their coach, he just is there. He doesn't really do much. So it's like...
Are you telling me you had an overflow from another team plus girls on the bus plus your team? Is that what you're telling me?
Yep. And the parents, it was for our team, it was just no parents showed up other than me and the other coach and the head coach. For the girls team, for the girls, what?
Go ahead. For the girls team, was there a parent on the bus?
Yeah, there were like three parents on the bus from the girls team. Now, the girls
male
really weren't that bad.
Male or female?
There was one couple, and then there was one female, and then one male met them up there. I don't know how he got up there because he must have been on a different bus.
On the bus. On the bus.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Yes, because one drove back with us, but we don't know if he was on the other bus when we drove up.
Okay. So what about the ones that overflowed to your bus? Did they have somebody that represented their team as an adult?
Not on our bus, guy. That's what I said.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. If it was up to me, I would have told them to shut the heck up.
Well, that's the thing. We told them to be quiet several times, and you can't do with so much of somebody else's kid, you know, and not hit them or something like that. But the
somebody
kicker.
Somebody has to take charge on the bus.
Yeah,
someone
the
has
colonel
to take
did. The colonel took charge, but the problem is he's going to have a meeting with the athletic director for the youth because a couple things happened that we were like, really? I mean, this just isn't cool or whatever. But my son's coach is a lieutenant colonel. But you know, unless you know he's a lieutenant colonel, you're going to think he's just another parent because he doesn't flex his rank like that, especially with other people. You know, it's not in his being to be, hey, I'm a lieutenant colonel, shut up. You know, that's not his demeanor. But what was I going to say? Anyway, bottom line is that these cats were just too much,
control.
Man. Yeah.
Out of control. And anytime you get, what are these, eight or nine-year-olds somewhere around there or older than that?
Dude, no. These were, our team is 10 to 13. The girls were like, I want to say, 13 to 15, and the other team was a mixture of the other boys were a mixture of that age group. So,
well, let me put it this way. Now, seeing that the parents and yourself were probably not too clued in on the type of music that these kids listen to?
No, no, when listen, they started, yeah. No, I am. Remember, that's what I do. I know the music.
When they start singing, and especially with teenage girls and boys, when they start singing and they're going back and forth, and if you're not clued in, or if you're clued in, you shut that off real quick, because you know what's happening there. The hormones are kicking in, and they figure that they're in an environment that nobody knows what's going on, and they can and pretty much say in code through a song what they want to say. You follow
what I'm
saying?
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, seeing as though I know the music, I told the boys stop. I was like, that's not age appropriate, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But you know,
you've grown up in a PC type parenting mode, and my sons will tell you that I ain't having it, and I say it like I mean it, and like I want to say it.
Well, you know, I can't do that.
Four-letter words, but I say it like I want to say it, and that's the bottom line. So, PC parenting is not for me. Let me put it that way. PC parenting.
Well, you know, we have to be a certain way, as you know. But anyway, dude. So, you know, the day is long, 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 and that's why I'm so tired. But but I mean, that's the good part about it, but it was, oh man, it was like, why can't y'all just shut up? And I told the guys, at least the guys on our team, look, y'all shut up. Just get focused on a game, da 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 da. So after the game, you know, I couldn't say too much, but, excuse me. So, you know, we're like telling everybody sit down, you know, be neat, clean up behind yourselves, da 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 da. So we go to get off the bus. And, of course, all the kids rushing off the bus because it's late and their parents are out there waiting on them or whatever. It's about 10:15 at night. And so Coach and I say, yeah, hey, look, clean up behind yourselves, just grab the trash bag and go. So they rush off. We go to the back to, you know, check to make sure everything is gone or whatever. And it's a pigsty, dude. I mean, you got chips, bags, stuff. And we're like, I literally got off bus and yelled at every parent and boy there, telling them, get back on the bus and clean. You know, these stinking parents just rolled out with the stupid boys. Now, again, most of the boys in the back were not our team, but the fact that some of my team was there, they're going to get in trouble. They're going to get in trouble on Tuesday because when the lights came on, they saw how dirty it was. And, you know, they didn't step up and tell those guys to, you know, clean up their mess or anything like that. So that in a nutshell.
Okay.
But it's
very like
fun. Whatever. But you know what's fun?
You sound like you're somebody 80, man, but that's okay.
Oh, for real? You know what? Silence, punk. Silence.
Did I call you a name? Did I call you a name?
Did you? You don't even know where that's from, do you? You don't even know where that's from.
Says silence, P-U-N-K. So that's a derogatory remark. So why you even got to go?
Do you know that's from The Last Dragon?
I could care less where it's from. I know where it came from you.
Oh, you know what? See, you're too old. You're too old to know how the game's told, quoting Tupac now.
You who you want. But but I didn't come out of my face calling you any kind of derogatory.
Okay.
Remark.
I'm sorry. You just said I was an old 80-year-old, you know. That's all
you
said.
You sound like an 80-year-old person. That's what I said. I did, but that's not derogatory. That's not derogatory, Mark. That's just saying.
That's not derogatory, Mark.
It's just an
term
observation.
Of endearment.
I put it like that. I didn't call you. I could have called you an old fart. I could have called you a lot of.
What you doing now? What you doing now? You think I'm stupid?
I didn't call you a punk. I mean, come on.
Okay, I'm sorry. All Mets fans are punks, but I apologize.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay. All national fans are jealous, so that's okay.
That is true.
Shoulda, woulda.
Because nobody wants to come to my team now. We try to spend a bunch of money.
I wonder why.
I know. Because
your all star puts everyone in a bad.
It's not the all star. It's not the all star.
Could all star put be a poison in the locker room? Could that possibly be it?
I'll say it like this. When the organization brings in a closer that, you know, on national TV chokes out said all-star, gets benched for the rest of the season, sent home for the rest of the season, and, you know, then in the offseason trades away the original closer and re-signs said closer that was choking the all-star, that sends a message to a lot of people in that locker room that, or in that clubhouse, that when we know Papa Von was wrong for what he did. We know that.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Well, we also know that Harper has not been the best of teammates to everybody, but Harper and the nucleus of that team are pretty good. I mean, Denard Span leaves. They bring in Murphy from the Mets.
You are such an apologist. If Bryce Harper, and I'll say it, if Bryce Harper happened to be on the Mets, you would be absolutely lambasting the heck out of him.
No, I wouldn't.
You call him all kind of names, call him a poison, and call him a real jerk and lazy and probably be overrated and all kind. Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
But because you're on his team, you're apologizing for a guy who is a very good talent and throws it up in your face and dogs it a lot. And that's what more or less one of the things that got his manager fired, because the fact is the manager was inconsistent in disciplining him, and probably from upper management told him to back off of Bryce Harper. More than likely.
Now listen. You can't put that on me.
Prima donna. Can't tell me he's a prima donna. He was the golden child ever since he came into the league with that team. And he was like, hands off, he can do no wrong. And even though he's been doing things that put him in a bad light, in my opinion, he's getting away with it. And that's one of the reasons why your manager got fired. And they're still catering to him. Your relief pitcher that you said choked him for the simple reason he had enough of what he was doing as an everyday player.
Now listen. That point about Papa Von could be true. It could be true about him having enough of Bryce. But everything else you said was false. Completely, utterly false. Not founded whatsoever.
Listen.
That's not what you said. I said, listen. What you accuse me of being a person of saying is to of being a saying that Bryce is going to, if he was on the Mets, would I would say this, that, and third. Completely false. Completely and utterly false. You have no basis for that other than your own opinion, and which is false. Now, I recognize talent. I didn't say Cespedes was a diva when he didn't take any batting practice or if he didn't do anything. I didn't say Cespedes was a cancer when at the end of the season he wasn't hitting anything, or in the playoffs he wasn't doing much. I didn't say Cespedes was this, that, and the third when he wasn't doing the things that everybody else on the team, the Mets, was doing. I didn't say that. So I would not say that about Bryce, whether he was on the Mets or on the Nationals. So,
did that superstar even get you to the playoffs? No.
Yeah, he did.
Did that superstar get you to
the World Series?
At least win one playoff series, which they did not.
But that has nothing to do with what you said. I would treat him or accuse him. That has nothing to do with it. That's your personal belief.
You jumped on Cespedes and Cespedes.
I was making a comparison. Of the player.
Comparison.
This is,
and that's a bad
star.
Comparison. You know why?
Nope.
You know why?
Nope.
Because Cespedes, when they acquired Cespedes, he helped them get. Where everybody had counted him out, including myself, he helped them get to win the National East title, helped them get through the playoffs and to the World Series. Without his help, regardless of how he played, he helped them get to the World Series.
But that has nothing to do with the way I would feel about Bryce.
Which your superstar did not.
No.
Start bashing Cespedes and saying that he didn't do this and do that. Well, then you're all-star player. You're MVP of the National League.
Yeah,
Bryce
the
Harper.
MVP. Not mine, but the MVP of the National League. Not
National
my
League
MVP.
He's the MVP of your team, and he's also MVP of the National League.
Because you wanted to label him mine.
But when you start calling out a single player and said, my single player didn't do this, didn't do that, then that gives me the right to come back at you.
No, it doesn't.
With your single player and do the same thing,
not.
Which he did.
It does not. Jerry.
MVP.
Jerry.
And he didn't come from these
votes. No, it did not. It does not give you the right to do that because what you said, you're like Trump, seriously, right now. You're double talking. Yes, it is because you accuse me of saying how I felt about Bryce if he was on a different team without any basis of anything. I never said anything.
You came at me with Cespedes.
In response to what you did. The comparison is stating that when your star player, because you talked about the national star player, when your star player did diva-ish actions during the year, I did not once say that he was, acting a certain way. You said if Bryce was on the Mets, I would call him this. I would call him that. And I said no. I would not. Based upon the evidence and the reaction I did not give you, because Cespedes did very similar things that Bryce did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, I just outlined some of them. But
even close,
Jerry. Again. Cespedes did his own thing. He did his own thing. The difference I can go to Harvey, who has been documented many, many times, along with Cespedes, by the way, to not be team players. Harvey not showing up, getting demoted to third in the pitching lineup, And
he didn't get demoted.
Whatever the case was, he was not working with the skipper. He was not working with his teammates and all this other stuff. I didn't talk bad about Harvey either.
Sure
so when you No, I didn't. So you can't accuse me of saying if Harper was on the Mets, I would say the same thing. I mean, because I wouldn't.
He would. But that's okay.
See,
that's
again,
all right. Let's
that
move
is your opinion. That is your opinion from a Mets fan. Because it's so one-sided, you New York.
No,
here's my. I'm about to do my Ted Cruz. Here's my
no,
Ted
it's
Cruz.
Not.
My
it's
Ted
not.
Cruz
it's
is
the that Bryce Harper.
Oh my
and
goodness!
Bryce Harper, dogging it. That's the reason why. Because you brought up that they shouldn't have re-signed Papelbon, but Papelbon had enough of Bryce Harper getting away with a whole bunch of you know what.
However,
and called him out on it. And called him out on it.
That's not calling him out. Me calling you out on air is calling out. What Bryce and Jonathan did, and see now you got a double standard because I can go back to the archives and we can talk. We can listen to you dogging Papelbon out for what he did. What I'm saying is on that aspect, not Bryce.
I really don't think I dogged him out for choking him out.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You said it was stupid. You said it's stupid, and Matt Williams had lost control of the team, and all this other stuff.
He had lost control of the team because Bryce Harper was getting away with murder. Now he did, and I got to give it to Matt Williams earlier. He was disciplining Matt Williams. Bryce Harper a few times. And that's why I'm saying right now that it looked like somebody got to Matt Williams and told him to back off of Bryce because he pretty much backed off and Bryce kept on doing the same thing.
But that's speculation.
No teammate was jumping up in Bryce Harper's face and calling him out on it. I'm not saying the pitcher's a perfect guy. The pitcher it can be a jerk. But the pitcher had seen enough of it and called him out on it. And
Jerry
took exception to it because it was a pitcher versus an everyday player.
No, that's not why he took exception to it. What happened? Now, we got to remember, since you want to go down history here, Jonathan Papelbon pretty much got kicked off the Boston Red Sox because he and a few other players, pitchers, were in the dugout. And then they left the dugout, went to the back in the clubhouse to eat chicken and beer and watch a game.
Yep.
So if we're going to talk about unprofessionalism, that's one right there. Then he goes to the Phillies.
I understand that.
Wait. Because you're talking about, the stuff that Bryce did. They got Williams fired. And I didn't say that Williams didn't get fired because of that. But let's talk about the players here. If somebody's going to do something to another player, you don't do it in public like that. You don't. If you got a beef with Bryce, you take it in the clubhouse behind closed doors and y'all scrap there. You don't on national TV choke somebody out, period. Whether they're exactly. So you want to talk about unprofessionalism? Well, the guy's already been cited for being a problem with the Phillies. He got kicked off pretty much the Red Sox for not being a team player. So,
I'm not justifying what the guy did.
You did justify it.
I'm not justifying. If you had listened to what I said that he had gotten fed up with seeing Bryce Harper dogging it out.
So he did. He did something that nobody else was doing. That's justifying
right.
it. That's justifying it, guy. Yeah, it is.
No,
because are you condemning it? Are you condemning it?
Are you condemning
the action?
Well, wait a minute. He shouldn't have done it. But I'm not justifying it. What I said, and this is a plain fact. What I said was this, and then I'll say it again.
You're gonna You're going to listen to this show afterwards. You need to listen to this show afterwards.
He had seen Bryce Harper dogging it a lot, and he got fed up with it, and nobody else stepped up at that time to call Bryce Harper out on it, so he decided to. And then when things got heated, he choked him. I didn't say, I'm not justifying anything. I'm just stating the facts. That's what happened.
Oh, my God. No. We don't know why he choked him out. We are speculating
obviously, it's not obvious. Wait a minute. Obviously, Bryce Harper says something to him that provoked
him. How do you
know? What do you mean, how do I know it's obvious? You can see.
It's
you
not
can saw
obvious.
It on, wait a minute. You saw it on it's national not TV. Wait a minute. This is this. Tell me if this is not what would happen. Bryce Harper dogged it down the first baseline and came back to the dugout. John Papelbon, started to talk to Bryce Harper and whatever he said
okay.
to Bryce Harper. Wait a minute.
And Bryce rebuttal, right?
Wait a minute. I'm listening.
Go ahead.
He's talking to Bryce Harper as Bryce Harper goes down the stairs past him. And Papelbon is still on the dugout stairs looking down at Bryce Harper. They're in a conversation. And you can see it getting heated because of the facial actions and the body language of both players. All of a sudden, Papelbon from the steps goes toward Bryce Harper and starts choking him out. Obviously, something that Bryce Harper said between the two.
Oh, my goodness.
prompted him, Bryce Harper, out. Obviously.
So you're blaming the victim. So you're blaming
no,
the victim.
No,
yeah, you are.
Say it.
No. I got what you're saying. You're saying the words.
I'm not blaming.
You're saying the words and plus the action of Harper caused Papelbon to go toward someone who had already passed him.
What
and
I said
going
was
towards
this.
I'm breaking down what you just said.
What I said was this: the verbal exchange between the two prompted one of them to physically assault the other one.
Now, who's unprofessional in that point? If Bryce Harper, called him unprofessional several times. You need to listen to the back of this. You need to re-listen to this show when it's over with.
Wait a minute.
You called him unprofessional.
What I said was that Bryce Harper was unprofessional, dogging it, and quite naturally. Jonathan Papelbon was unprofessional when he put his hands, like he did on national TV, on Bryce Harper. Absolutely. But what
you
I'm,
are such
what
a
I'm
politician.
Stating,
such
I'm,
a
no,
politician.
No, I'm stating the facts as you saw it. Bryce
no.
Harper dogged it. Jonathan Papelbon called him out on it. They had a heated conversation. At one point, Papelbon got tired of the conversation, regardless of who said what, and decided to choke Bryce Harper. Now, I don't call that being an apologist. I don't call that blaming Bryce Harper for getting choked out. I call that stating simple facts, as you saw on TV.
Stating a simple fact the way you just did would not have prompted the conversation we're having. But the way you stated it, it was as if, well, he dogged it out. He calls Matt Wins to lose his job. And da da da. You need to listen back to what you said and how you said it.
I said part of what may have caused Matt Williams to lose his job, and I'll say it differently now, but I'm going to say it's about the same way. It's the way he handled the Bryce Harper. That plain and simple. At one point, he was disciplined Bryce Harper, and it seemed like he backed off. Now, I don't know if his boss told him to back off, but it seemed like earlier in the season he disciplined Bryce Harper, but then backed off and stopped disciplining him. And it looked obvious to me that Jonathan Papelbon had had enough and decided to call him out on it. They had a heated conversation, and this is plain and simple. I can't make it any simple. They had a heated conversation, and Bryce Harper, not Jonathan Papelbon, got assaulted because Jonathan Papelbon, whatever was said in the conversation, Papelbon decided that he was going to choke him out. And I'm not
again
saying it. I'm not saying that Bryce Harper caused it. I'm saying because of the conversation, regardless of what it was, one guy decided to assault the other guy.
That's fine. That's fine. But this is all predicated on the fact that you said that Harper was a crybaby and all this other stuff. So therefore,
I never said he was a crybaby. Come on, man.
You might not use the term crybaby.
He was dogging.
No. Dude, I promise you, you have Alzheimer's.
That was the reason why maybe Cedric got fired, and the reason why I think Jonathan Papelbon had enough.
You didn't call him prima donna. You didn't call him a prima donna either, right? You didn't call Harper a prima donna. Okay. So. You called him a prima donna before you described activities to support your statement. So basically, you called him a prima donna. Yeah, it does because it shows a bias. It shows a bias non-biased description.
If I called him a prima donna and to describe why I called him a prima donna, then I just backed up why I called him a prima donna. So what are you talking about?
Again, when you say...
And you probably asked me why you called me prima donna, and I spelled it out for you. What's the argument that you're trying to get?
I'm gonna take it back full circle again for you. When I compared the activities of Cespedes, which are diva-ish, prima donna, not practicing with people, not going to bat in practice, not doing this. When I said Harvey had similar issues with management and the team, you're like, no. And then you were like, well, if Harper was on the Mets, you'd be calling him all types of names. And I was like, no, I wouldn't.
Absolutely.
So therefore, again, you can't make the statement because it's not factual. It's not factual.
Quite naturally, we'll never know unless Bryce Harper happens to be on another team, quite naturally. But
my goodness.
That's plain unadulterated truth. You can't tell me.
I can't wait.
Because he's not on another team. If he was on another team and it was on that activity, you would probably call him out. But now you tell me you won't
No.
That's okay.
Because the thing is this. I'm not blaming him for all the fault. Now, I will say this. He may have had a role in Matt Williams not returning because of the way Matt Williams tried to handle him, but that's on management. And this goes back to the original conversation as to why free agents passed up more money to play with the Nationals and go to other teams like Jason Bay. Nationals offered him more money. He wanted to go to Chicago. They offered five contracts. That makes sense. Well,
that makes sense.
You know that
look,
we
look,
offered
look.
Him.
Yeah. Look, some of these guys.
Theo Epstein and management
guys,
is better.
Some of these guys. I'm not even thinking about that. What I'm thinking is this: some of these players get with their agents. Besides getting a boatload of money. They want to get a chance or a better opportunity from one team to the next of getting, quite naturally, of winning. And you put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Winning, plain and simple. Because you have to look at the roster and compare the roster of the Chicago Cubs compared to the Nationals. And I think the Chicago Cubs have a ton of upside, and are in a better position to make a run for years, not for a year, for years, than Nationals do. And pitching and their whole lineup, in my opinion, is a lot better than the Nationals. And they got a lot of upside because they got a lot of young, very young players. And to me, they're only going to get better. You got one superstar on your team, and the other ones are good players who quite a few of them have a history of injuries. So that's why I think, you know, somebody like that would go to a team like the Cubs versus a team like the Nationals. Even though the Nationals are offering more money, he's got a better opportunity of winning and making money. Maybe money, how much money is too much?
Well, I'll say this about Jason Bay. Jason Hayward. I keep saying Bay, I meant Hayward.
Jason Hayward, yeah.
You know, for that decision to go to the Cubs, you know, I don't begrudge him because Jason Worth plays the same position, and they would either shift Jason Worth to right field or center field because Denard Span, I believe, left and went to the Giants. But the bottom line is that I don't believe players want to come to the organization except for Murphy, who just left the Mets to take second base for the Nationals, which moves a couple of young kids that are in the center of the Nationals' defense to different positions.
Look at that.
But the bottom line is Murphy was your go-to guy in the playoffs, and he came. I'm not gonna say he came for the money, but money offered to him that the Mets didn't want to give him, and that they gave to Cespedes. So I mean that's fine. Well, whatever the case may be, he's there.
He's a very good hitter, and a very good clutch hitter, but his fielding has a lot to be desired.
Well, they can work on that. Dusty Baker is well known for getting his teams to be very defensive, as well as being able to turn the bats around. And the bats for the Nats are already good. They just got to find ways to get run support. Like last year, there was no run support. The year before that, there was run support and good pitching. The year before that, it was just good runs, but no pitching. So, you know, now with Scherzer, Gio, and a few others, maybe that lineup will gel and they'll get better. Zimmerman's gone and a few others are gone, and maybe they'll find a way to make things work. I don't know. But the bottom line is that when you have a new manager, when you have an organization that seems to be a little, slanted to various views or various ways, team players that really want to, as you said, win right now or down the line, they're going to say, okay, look, this is a bad situation that took place with a manager who was a good guy, good manager, got done wrong, where players are just running amok. Either it's right. Bryce, you know, doing what he wants, or Papelbon doing what he did and getting and then coming back to the organization and getting rid of a young guy. And this is where I was going with it, that they got rid of Sorensen and re-signed Papelbon. And Sorensen was doing well before they even got Papelbon. So the issue comes from the management, not just the player. If management doesn't bring in Papelbon, we don't have that situation. Sorensen was doing just fine. He might not have been lights out all the time, but closers go through, you know, things every now and again. They go through a lot of stuff. A closer is like a pitcher, whereas, you know, he's got to have his stuff every 5 days. A closer has to have it every time that there's going to be an opportunity to win a game. And the Nationals are always, always in every game. And last year, they had the most blown saves in the National League. So it wasn't really the pitching. It really wasn't the bats. It was the closing, the closers that didn't finish. And Papelbon didn't help at all. He was just as inconsistent as Sorensen was. So therefore, if I'm a player, a free agent player, and I may or may not want to go to a team that's going to win, because the Nationals are going to win. We don't know if they're going to win the East or if they're going to get a wild card, but they're going to win. I've got an old school coach in Dusty Baker, or manager in Dusty Baker, who I know is going to be hard on me, right? I think Dusty has a 2-year, 3-year contract. I'm saying if that's the way the management is going to treat the players and the manager, I don't know if I want to come. But that goes into the behavior of Bryce and all that. Am I willing to step into that locker room or into that clubhouse and, you know, try to be a leader in an organization that has a player that's the player right now in the National League and in baseball, just behind my guy with the Los Angeles Angels. But
Mike Trout.
Do I do that? Yeah, Mike Trout, thanks. Do I do that? I don't know, but I can't wait till we draft fantasy baseball this year so I can shut you up again. But I'm going to compare Bryce Harper to Cam Newton.
I didn't play like
I'm gonna compare Bryce Harper and Cam Newton. Okay.
Okay.
Transition time. Everybody okay. and their mom dog Cam Newton after his first 2 years. I myself,
yep.
first year, said the same thing. You, Jerry, you did the same thing. And all these other prognosticators and analysts, you know, said, okay, well, he needs to grow up, he needs to do this, that, and the third. Just like Bryce. You know, talented, carries himself in different ways, carries themselves in different ways that people might not like. But in their own right, they are leaders. And in this case, with Cam Newton, with Cam Newton, yeah, you can't
get you. Get away with that. You can't. You don't even come to me and tell me Bryce Harper is some type of leader. No way. How.
Listen.
That ain't happening.
Listen.
No way.
It's gonna take.
You can't get me with that one. Come on, man.
Listen. Bryce is going to come into his own as a leader. He's gonna come into his own as a leader. The same way Cam. The same way Cam. Can I finish it? Can I finish it though? He's gonna come into his same the same way that Cam has. It took Cam 5 years. 5 years to now be recognized as an MVP candidate for the NFL. Right now, he is the MVP, in my opinion. You know, he's done it with his star receiver gone for the season before the season even started. He's done it with wide receivers who are cast-offs, third and fourth stringers, and special teamers, and free agents, and stuff like that. He's done it with a decent run game, but he's been mostly the run game for the Panthers. Jonathan Stewart has been in and out of the lineup, but he's done it with an excellent defense. And Cam Newton is a guy that is, I'm not going to call him an enigma, because you can know who he is and what he is as an athlete, but as a person, people have labeled him. You know, I did at one point too. I've since changed my mind about, you know, how I view him. Once I learned of his many, many charitable acts and the way he feels about the youth and all that other mess, But I do believe that Cam Newton, when he made his press conference this week and brought up the issue of, you know, being an African-American quarterback, and he might not be the prototype that everybody's used to and comfortable to, that it ruffled some feathers. But he's right. He's absolutely right. You know, I don't see how a 6 foot six, 250, 260 pound quarterback that isn't named Jamarcus Russell makes it in the NFL as a mobile quarterback and nobody pegs him. But once he starts playing within the pocket, mostly, because Cam didn't play in the pocket all season. I think he had like 10 or 15 rushing touchdowns, so he wasn't in the pocket all season. But the mindset changes because his maturity level has changed, and Cam himself said it in the same press conference, or it was one last week, where he said, when he had that near-death experience, that's when he said, I got to change. I appreciate life more. I appreciate what's happening more. And I've got to do something different to make things better.
You look on your board. There is a 3-minute interview or press conference, part of a press conference.
What's the name of it? Oh, Cam?
It's just, yeah.
All right. Well, let's play that real quick so we can get into this Cam Newton conversation. And we may or may not touch upon the Super Bowl, but we have all next week. Here we go, Cam Newton.
How does this compare to your experience when you played at Auburn in the last game? Is it similar? I mean, obviously college pro. But...
Nothing is comparable to the Super Bowl.
When you think about the keep pounding motto and where it started and where it's at today, what does it really mean to you and this team?
It means a lot off the mere fact that, you know, it's just not two words to us as an organization. It's a way of life.
When did you know, what week was it, what moment was it that you knew this team's special, this is it, this is the year?
This week. Truth be told, you know, everybody says, you know, we want to win a Super Bowl. And truth of the matter is, you don't win a Super Bowl until you're in a Super Bowl. You know, for us to overcome so much with this year and not be distracted, you know, come Sundays, you know, it's been great to see and be a part of too. I've been seeing more Carolina Panthers support than ever in my life, from flags, posts, to everything. And, you know, truth be told, you know, whether you win, lose, or draw, people are going to talk, you know what I'm saying? So I'm comfortable, you know, with the position that I'm in right now. And, you know, I speak for the masses when, you know, we really could care less who, what you say. It's funny, really, because I've come to this point in my life where I've been faced with so much from good, bad, or indifferent that I try to check myself if I'm trying to judge somebody. See what I'm saying? I think we all are guilty of it at times. And if we, you know, look in the mirror or look in our own closet, we see that we're not perfect. It was only one person that walked this green earth that was perfect, and we know that who that is.
Why do you think that you're judged? Why do you think you become more of a lightning rod than other athletes?
I think this is a trick question, because if I answer it truthfully, it's going to be, oh, he's this, that, oh, he's going to say. But I'm going to say it anyway. I don't think people have seen, you know, what I am or what I'm trying to do. And I said that prior to me being in this situation. But when I said it then, oh, he's immature. Oh, he's young. He's this, that, and the third. But like, I felt a certain type of way then. I feel the same type of way now. And the only thing that's changed is that we're winning, you know. And I've said it since day one. You know, I'm an African-American quarterback that may scare a lot of people because they haven't seen nothing that they can compare me to.
You're going to hear about icon and entertainer. You're going to hear about how you celebrate. because of the national media, you're going to hear all these questions over and over. How are you going to maintain your composure, be patient?
Find
any way to win a football game. Because when you win, that's going to give them something else to talk about.
So there you go, Jerry. It's going to give them something else to talk about. You know, this goes back to what we're talking about, how Cam was viewed in a certain light beforehand. How it took this year for people to stop, you know, saying things like, oh, he's not going to be a pocket quarterback. Oh, he's not going to do this. Oh, he's not going to do that. And as Cam said, he never changed his approach. He never did. So when you have the bandwagoners, as he was politically correct when he said what he said, because he's never seen so many flags. He's never seen so many this, that, and the third, support for the Carolina Panthers. And that's the truth. You know, people are now getting to the point where they want to say, oh, he's great. He's this, he's that. But beforehand, they were dogging him out. And I make the same comparison to Bryce Harper in the sense that, yes, Bryce is immature in certain situations. But he's not the first one not to run it out to first base.
It just so happens that,
I didn't say that. But the point is that he's probably one of the few folks that are young in their career that has done that. Because I remember Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, and other people not running out to first base, you know. And say again, what'd you say?
Were you afraid of showing your blackness or what? Peoples.
Whatever.
So what?
Shut up. I'm a broadcaster. I have to be professional. Anyway, the bottom line is that Cam is I'm not saying he's in a unique position to tell people I told you so, but he is. He's in a unique position to say, look, I never changed anything I did. Not one thing. I had histrionics when I was a rookie, setting rookie records. First game ever throwing for 400 plus yards. You know, first game in the NFL, that's what I mean by that. Throwing for 400 plus yards.
Back to back.
And being the type of leader that he is. And people want to criticize me then. I haven't changed. I haven't done anything different. And now I'm the great one. So whether he wins or loses this game, depending on how it goes down, those people are going to swing just like the wind, left and right. So Mr. Newton made some comments that some people didn't like and some people may issue with. Like Brian Urlacher told him. And, you know, nothing against Brian Urlacher, but
he's old school.
Well, it is what it is, but he didn't. Yeah. And the comparison that keeps getting brought up is Aaron Rodgers. I think it's very unfair to Aaron Rodgers, but in another light, it's fair because Aaron does the Ric Flair, you know, belt thing, and he gets a State Farm commercial out of it. You know, State Farm commercials, not just one, but several commercials out of it. Cam does a dap thing. Exactly. Cam does a dap thing. And those are histrionics. Cam does a dance or so after he gets in the end zone, still gets dogged out. Now, again, just like Tom Brady. Tom Brady's in people's face after his team scores a touchdown, doesn't get flagged for taunting or anything. And it's not one time that Tom Brady has done it. He's in people's face all the time. when he's not getting his way or when he does get his way?
Let me pose another one to you. And this isn't even quarterback. This is a defensive lineman. About the name of J.J. Watt, how he celebrates after a play. So, I mean, you can go on and on about guys after making a play. I think I've heard this before. I think it's everyone's used to one position that's supposed to be a taboo position of celebrating and doing and it's something excessive, and that's supposed to be supposedly the quarterback. So you got a majority of quarterbacks that they may celebrate, but they do very minimal type of celebration. Now you have a quarterback that celebrates like he's a defensive lineman or a wide receiver or a running back when they get into the end zone or make a first down. And a lot of people don't like it because they have a perceived picture of how a quarterback is supposed to act during a football game. Am I right or wrong about that?
You're right. You're very much right about it. But the bottom line is, I don't think that players that have played the game and know the struggle that that each quarterback or each receiver or each DB goes through should dog him out. Quite honestly, whether it's Urlacher, Donovan, or anybody else. He's having fun, and that's what a lot of these, you know, analysts who want to, you know, kick him when he's down and kind of praise him when he's up, forget to fail to understand. Everybody starts playing this game for fun. It's once somebody realizes they have talent, we start taking everything that they do so seriously. You know, if I'm not going to say if you're Winston or let me see, what's my boy, Kirk Cousins or anybody like that. I'm not saying they would get any different treatment, but when I look at the things that Cam has been able to do, my respect for him goes up immensely, especially with his off the field stuff. Now, do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? No. Neither does the NFL, apparently, when they decided to paint both end zones Broncos colors and names. But that's beyond the point. Cam Newton is a very talented guy. And he, once he gets Benjamin back next year, is probably going to have an even better year because he's going to have another solid target to throw to. And I want to transition from that to why Keyshawn Johnson will no longer be at ESPN. So he wanted them to throw him the damn ball. Well, Keyshawn is now going to be sitting on the couch throwing himself the ball. What can you tell us about why ESPN decided not to renew Keyshawn Johnson's contract?
God. I guess they didn't like him. He wasn't effective enough. I guess his analysis wasn't what they were looking for, and they wanted to move on. Probably they got someone else in mind that they think can do a better job. You know, analysts and personalities that are on these these programs move around quite a bit, and they do. They all depends on who they are. They rotate people in and out. ESPN,
NFL Network, Fox Sports. You got guys that Michael Irvin at one point was on ESPN. Now he's on the NFL Network. You got other personalities that were either on ESPN, Fox Sports, or NFL Network that moved to the next network, maybe with a better job or a different position, maybe better money. So this is, in my opinion, it's not a big deal. I don't know if it's in your opinion. It's not a big deal. It's just another personality possibly leaving. And they're probably looking at someone else that they can bring in that maybe a retiring player like Charles Woodson or maybe even Peyton Manning. I mean, you never know that. Maybe talks behind the scenes that once you're finished, we know Charles Woodson after this year. He's playing in the Pro Bowl. That will bring you in as replacement for Keyshawn Johnson. So you never know. You got Hall of Fame guys that are leaving or possibly leaving this year. And what happens with these guys? Just like Deion Sanders, just like Michael Irvin, Chris Carter, these guys transition into jobs on one of these sports networks. So maybe that Keyshawn's time had quite naturally run out, and they want to get a new personality to take his spot, I should say. So it is what it is. I'm surprised he left this long. So because I didn't think he was all that, but apparently ESPN differed than in my opinion, and he held on for 9 years. So.
Yep. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, the word is that, yes, Charles Woodson may be taking his position upcoming season. People want Peyton on that diocese so he can talk, but there's so many rumors floating around about what Peyton's going to do afterwards. No one really knows. But we do know this. We've come to the end of this show because my dog wants to go outside and use the bathroom at 4:17 in the morning. He's been wanting to go for the past hour.
Is that who's making all that back there?
Yeah, he's making noise for an hour. So, you know, I got to take him out before he poops on the floor or whatever. So I want to thank Jerry for being such an antagonist and not the he being a Bryce Harper hater, but it's okay. Yes, I know you take pride in that.
I'm not a big fan. Even though I had him on my fantasy team, I'm not a big fan.
We know. Trust me, we know. But anyway, we'll talk about it. Yes, very soon. Fantasy baseball. Just like I took down 5 football titles this year, all I really care about is 1 baseball title. That's all I care about this year. Yeah. He said I sucked at football, ladies and gentlemen. And look what happened this year. Anyway, let me get out of here, JT.
You suck at baseball.
You have a good Saturday. And enjoy your Sunday.
Enjoy the Senior Bowl if you're going to watch it.
I think it comes on here at a good time. I think UFC comes on as well, so I don't know.
2:30 in the afternoon. In fact, it's on right. It should be coming on very shortly.
Well, that means it's probably going to be on here. So after I take care of my dog, I'll probably turn it on and fall asleep and wake up in the middle of it. But
just like you for the program.
Shut up, dude. I knew he was going to go there. I knew it.
Hello. Dude, what are you doing? What?
You know what, Jared? I should have just rolled over and went back to sleep. Then I wouldn't have been harassed.
I was waiting for you to do that. I'm surprised you jumped out there. But that's okay. That's all right. True professional that you are. No problem.
I show up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, catch the master plan tomorrow at 10 a.m. where JT is going to talk about.
I'm going to talk about, you know what? I'm going to do a mock draft. Yeah, people, fantasy doesn't end for me just because the season's over and we're into the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl a week from now. I'm going to do my first mock draft and see. I'm just going to do my mock draft. That's one of the things I'm going to do, the mock draft. I'm trying to do a couple of rounds of my mock draft. Also talk about the Super Bowl and also talk about a couple of players that lost their damn mind. We haven't talked about it today, but we'll definitely bring it up tomorrow. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Master Plan. Be there with me, JT.
All right. Enjoy yourself. And for me over here, it's Black History Month. Power to the people. We get an extra day this year. All right. And we are out of here.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy.